This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
I got the power in it, in an in it, in it. I got the power.
I'm going to mix that up right there, that intro music, which is lovely, but we're going to take it back to some 1990 early sort of techno trance with Black Box, because Sunderland do indeed have the power. Max Power returned from three games out of the starting lineup to score twice in a week. One, to put the sword to Sheffield United in the Carabao Cup, and two, to start the victory over MK Dons yesterday at the Stadium of Light. This is the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. As ever, Niall Bromley from the Roker Report joins me. Niall, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I didn't know where you were going when I was sitting there. Clicked a little bit late on, like. But yeah, mate, I'm good. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, good, mate. I've got to tell you, it's 10:37 p.m. on a Sunday evening. Delirium setting in. There's nothing wrong with having a bit of fun with a bit of music, is there?
Well, mate, I'm over the water, so it's 11:37 for me, so it's even more delirium over here.
Oh, crikey, of course. Of course it is. But now, let's talk Sunderland, because actually, do you know what? Before we go into the results from this week, two very good results, like I said, dumping Sheffield United out of the Carabao Cup, beating MK Dons at the Stadium of Light yesterday. You've got a little score to settle, because in the week following last week's fan show, you received a bit of backlash on Twitter, and there's kind of something that A, you want to discuss, and B, to put right, as it were.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting week. My phone never stopped beeping for about 2 days. But no, it's fine. I think obviously there was part of what I had said on last week's show, which got quoted, but it was I was going through, you know, the different reasons, well, the different ways that Sunderland fans feel. So, you know, I did a bit of why the fans wanted Ross out. I did a bit of why they wanted to stay and stuff. And I was just going through different fans' emotions. Obviously, a lot of it was, you know, my opinion as well. But yeah, so I kind of think what was posted was kind of out of context, in a sense, and yeah, I think a lot of Sunderland fans took it the wrong way, and hence the messages I was getting. But you know, we're a really passionate team. You know, we've got a massively passionate fan base, and I understand there's frustrations, you know, and you know, our fans do like to speak up, and that's all they've done, and that's absolutely fine. I mean, at the end of the day, we all love football, and one of the reasons that we love football is because everyone wants to give an opinion on it. So it's absolutely fine. That's all I'm doing, is giving an opinion. And it's fine that the Sunderland fans give theirs as well. But yeah, if I did upset anybody, I do apologise. It wasn't the intention anyway.
Well, nothing wrong with a bit of interaction between fans, I suppose. And we can't always agree. And that's the beauty of having these fan shows, is that fans do have differing opinions. The idea is to sort of engage debate, to prompt debate, because the way some fans think isn't always the same as other fans think. And if it was always the same, then I don't know whether it would be too easy, too harmonious. I don't know. Maybe disagreement is sometimes good for fans. And I think in today's show, it's been quite interesting today, because this is the Sunday Fan Show special. And we started with Watford. Tough for them at the moment. We then went on to Wimbledon. Tough for them. Watford haven't won in the Premier League. Wimbledon haven't won in League One. We then went on to Manchester United. All seems like doom and gloom for them at the moment, regardless of what they can do. Norwich, of course, lost yesterday. We are now on the Sunderland Fan Show. Please, please, Niall, give me a reason to be cheerful.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a good week for Sunderland. I think off the back of last week, which was hugely disappointing. 1-1 draw away at Bolton, where I think, like I said last week, you know, a lot of teams have been putting five and sixes past them, and I think everyone was really looking forward to that game. Everyone thought that would really get a big result, and it didn't happen, and there was a lot of questions about Jack Ross last week, you know, and we've come this week, and, you know, he's answered them questions with two wins, and yeah, that's the main thing. Performances, again, obviously midweek, it's a bit of a strange one, because we made 8 changes, so you know, it's a different team who are playing these cup games, but they're getting results. So obviously that's giving Jack Ross a headache, and he's slowly easing some of the players who who are playing in those games into the first team, into the league games, which is obviously tough for him, because it's something which I've said, you know, from the start, where Jack Ross has always kind of struggled with what his best team is. This has been something which, since he took the Sunderland job, which is always, you know, it's always been like that. But, you know, I think now we've got players in more settled positions. You've got Lawrence De Box coming on loan from Leeds. So he's slipped in at left-back now, which means Conor McLaughlin can go into his natural position of right-back, which means that Luke O'Neill can go into his natural position of, you know, playing further up the field, sort of advanced midfielder, and he scored at the weekend. So, Jack Ross, at times, he is tactically questionable, but, you know, now that players are playing in their natural positions and stuff like that, is, you know, we've got the result at the weekend, and two of the players who have come in from the League Cup games have scored the goals, and it is positives, and you do need to look at it. Joe Lynch, who played midweek against Sheffield United, he started centre-half on Saturday, and he looked like a tank. He really did. He looked awesome. Him and Jordan Willis together looked really well, and they're positives we need to take. You know, we just need to sustain these performances for 90 minutes, and that's something that, you know, we've not been able to do pretty much ever since Jack Ross took the job. It's never been a 90-minute, you know, performance. It's never been, you know, play. Like on Saturday, we didn't start great, but then power scored a screamer, confidence lifted, we got the second. Fans would love to see us push on. Instead, we conceded a really sloppy goal, and then it gets touch and go, and then it gets a bit nervy. We got over the line in the end, which is the main thing. But that's the thing. If we can sustain these performances, if we can, you know, keep it consistent and just play like that from the off, even if we don't get the result, but the fans see the effort is there and heads don't drop, then, you know, people get behind that, Ross, and, you know, confidence will come in, because we are in League One, and, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not great, but sometimes, even when you're winning 2-1, so to say, it can be frustrating, because a lot of fans think, well, it should be more than this. I mean, we've only won. All our wins this season have come against teams which are currently sitting in the bottom eight. So, it's, you know, it doesn't, you know, when we need to step up against bigger teams or better teams in this league, you know, are we going to get over the line? If that was a team which were in the top eight on Saturday, would they have got a result? Would they have pushed after they went 2-1 and got the equaliser? So, like I say, still questions, but overall, a bright week. We've got the win against the Premier League team midweek, and we've won at the weekend. So hopefully we can push on and keep getting these results in, and hopefully that starts on Saturday against Lincoln, or continues on Saturday.
I think, Niall, that is probably one of the most comprehensive answers I've ever had to a question on this station. There is so much to dissect from what you said there. We are going to get into all of that, all the nitty-gritty of that, after this on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Yep, this is the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with Niall Bromley of the Roker Report. Niall gave us an astonishing answer to a question earlier on about where Sunderland are at the moment, and that victory over MK Dons following the victory over Sheffield United as well. I just want to get into the nitty-gritty of that, Niall, because, like I said, so much to discuss there. You mentioned the two players that came in, the two players that made their league debuts, I should say, Joel Lynch and Lawrence De Bock. Now, we do a Leeds United fan show on this station, and they were quite scathing of Lawrence De Bock and the fact that he wasn't ever really a Leeds player, a bit of a pointless signing, and it was a, all right, see ya, off you go to Sunderland. But he did okay, didn't he?
He did. He looked really good. I don't think he's fully match fit yet. I think that's why he had a couple of games in the under-23s before we brought him in midweek, and we took him off. I think he came off after about 70 minutes yesterday, so I don't think he's fully there. But yeah, he looks decent. I mean, he obviously didn't set the world alight, but he still looked solid. And like I say, it's more for us just finding people who can just sit in the natural positions, so we can get everybody in the natural positions. And, you know, Sunderland have all, like, since the start of last season, we've always been playing players out of position. Luke O'Neill has played right back virtually most of last season and all of this season so far. He's not a right back. And as soon as we push him further forward, he scores a great goal. And he even scores at right back. I think he got 4 or 5 last season for a right back position. So, you know, that's why it's crucial to get players like De Bock in there and settled and in the team. And like I said before, just give it your all, which he did at the weekend. And yeah, just play the way he did and just be solid and nothing too fancy. You don't need to set the world alight. But just, like I say, we're in League One, so not many players can. But like I say, if he's just there doing the job, and that's absolutely fine, and that's all we ask for. And like I say, that means other players like Luke O'Neill can get in advanced positions and score goals, and that's what we need. We just need a settled team.
Yeah, you're bang on about Luke O'Neill. And actually, a good friend of mine is close to Luke O'Neill, and he is one of those players who is just happy to be playing football, you know, jumped at the chance to join Sunderland, the biggest club he's ever played for, having been at Wickham prior to that, and is happy to play at right back. But I think you could even see in his celebration on Saturday, I mean, he went nuts, absolutely demolished the corner flag, because he's clearly in the position that he wants to play. And I do think, even though you've already seen some good stuff out of Luke O'Neill, it's only going to get better now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think not even just his footballing ability, I think he's one of them people that you need in the dressing room. He seems like a real character lifter. There's so many things and so many stories I've heard about the guy. And, you know, every week you see a video of him, you know, taking his shirt off and coming over the crowd and spending time with the crowd. There was a video last season which came on social media of him. He got the train back from one of the away games on his own. I don't know why, but he did. And he just sat with all the Sunderland fans after he played a 90-minute game. And just sat with all the Sunderland fans on the train and was just, you know, interacting with them and talking to them. And like I say, he just, the lad always looks like he's smiling and in a good mood. And I think he probably is such a good character to have in and around the dressing room. And I bet he's a manager's dream. I've heard stories, like I said, I don't know how true these are, but I have heard stories of, you know, he's one of the last to leave training every day and, you know, stuff like that. And like I say, he's always willing to do stuff for the community and he's always willing to do that extra bit. And like I say, he'll just be a joy for Jack Ross to manage. And, you know, the fact that they've stuck him at right back, out of position, he's never played there in his career. And, you know, he's not complained once. He just gets on with it, does the work that Jack Ross asks him to do. It's fantastic. And now I'm hoping that he can play in an advanced position, his natural position, and hopefully get a few more like you did at the weekend and, yeah, kick a few more corner flags out.
Yeah, and I think you're right about training as well. Apparently at Wickham, he was locked out eventually, locked out of the training ground because he was so eager to get there early and do his work in the gym. But because they had a program there and they didn't want him to do more than they'd planned for him to do, I think they actually locked him out of the training ground. So he'd get there early and not be able to actually do the weights. So incredibly committed to his fitness, to his stamina, to basically being a footballer, which is great to see as a fan. Another player is Joel Lynch, who at this level, as a 31-year-old now, I mean, what, 300-plus career appearances. A tumultuous summer, you'd say. Thought he was going to stay on at QPR. Had the trial, bizarrely, at Sheffield United. That one didn't work because I think it was a hamstring that he pulled. But he's now come down to League One. He thinks that, you know, Sunderland, he said when he joined that Sunderland is probably the biggest club that he's played for. Like you said, he looked like an absolute tank. And a quote that I read actually after the Sheffield United game when he started in that one, and the fact that he said, "I'm standing on the pitch in the last 10 minutes, heading the ball out the box, just feeling like I love football again. I'll do absolutely everything I can to bring success to the club." That is what you want to hear, isn't it?
That is, yeah, music to my ears, mate. Honestly, like, after the few years we've had at Sunderland with some of these players, I mean, Jack Rodwell, Papi Djilabodji, you know, like, after the attitudes we've had of some of these players, he's, you know, yeah, to see that as a Sunderland fan, because that's what you want to hear as a fan. And I think it helps that he's playing alongside Jordan Willis. I think the pair of them, I mean, it's only early days, but the pair of them look like already they've got a bit of an understanding. And, you know, they had a lot of conversation and on Saturday, and you could see them communicating constantly, and that's what you want from your centre-halves. But yeah, what a lovely quote. It's just, obviously he's at a new club, and yeah, I've seen that. He said it's the biggest club he's ever played for. A lot of Sunderland players, you know, have said that, and especially now that we're in League One, and players do tend to embrace it now with Sunderland, and he certainly did that at the weekend. I hope he can keep that form up. I think everybody was quite surprised that we managed to get him, to be honest with you. I think the QPR lot, this is just from social media, but I think it's quite 50-50 with their fans about him. I think a lot of fans say he'll either be, you know, solid, or he'll have a bad game rather than be excellent or have a bad game, you know. But from what I've seen at the weekend, and certainly midweek against Sheffield United, he looks really comfortable, and hopefully, I mean, this League One might just be his level, but hopefully that's not the case. You know, hopefully he is just so much better. And hopefully that stands out and can help us. And like I say, playing alongside a player like Jordan Willis, who, you know, he's been my favourite summer signing so far. He's been absolutely excellent every game that he's played. You know, he's always asking for the ball. He races out to win headers. He's a type of player that fans want to see, and he's got a bit of passion about him as well. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Grant Ledbetter was, you know, if he moves on at the end of the season or whatever, if Willis got the captaincy. But now Joe Lynch is coming, maybe them they'll be fighting over it, you never know.
Maybe. I was going to discuss the EFL Cup, but I think I'm going to save that for next week because we've got plenty of time to discuss it. I just want to quickly focus before we finish for this evening on the Lincoln away game, which is next up. First time in 58 years, and the departure of the Cowley brothers hasn't really given them the customary manager bounce. That's because they weren't sacked, they left upon their own accord. Not such a great record under Michael Appleton yet. Two defeats on the bounce. One of those was a 6-0 hammering by Oxford. But I don't know whether you saw this, Niall, the report in the Chronicle, which states some research from bonuscodebets.co.uk, which found that since the start of the 2009-10 season, Sunderland picked up just 194 points from 202 games. That's an average of 0.96 points per game, which is the fourth worst record, I think, away from home in the English Football League. Sorry to end this on a sour note.
Yeah, but did you not see the one that came out about the penalties though after that?
Oh, go on.
We've got the best penalty rate. And then it was funny, we've got the best rate of scoring penalties in the last, I can't remember how many years it was, but it was funny the week that came out, we missed a penalty. Ian McGeady missed a penalty against Rotherham that week after that stat came out. Yeah, so
in that case, then you should win since you're back. That's the logic.
Yeah, well, you'd like to think so. I mean, obviously Michael Appleton now, he's had a little bit more time there, hasn't he? And I think by all accords, they sounded like they didn't actually play that bad on Friday against Blackpool. So I don't know. Michael Appleton's a great manager. Oxford fans absolutely love the guy. You know, he seems like he really knows his stuff. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a tough game away from home, Central Bank. It's a little bit of a mini fortress for them, that ground. They get a great support. They've got a fantastic fan base, Lincoln City. So yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I know you're going to ask this for a prediction, so I'll come out with, I think we'll sneak past. I think we'll win the game. I think we'll win 1-0 or 2-1.
Lovely stuff. Niall Bromley from the Roker Report. Great to hear from you again on the Sunderland Fan Show. We will be back next week, same time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.